You're listening to Life Insights Live with Scout Backlash. I like that part. I don't even know why. You are listening to a Life Insights Live with Scout like Pathfinder, Bartlett like Pears. Cool. It's the 1th day of the work week. Happy Monday to ya. You're getting used to the new KEST format, the wake up weekday mornings, our 6 to 8 in the morning personal growth radio format every weekday. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah, we condensed it all together. It's all in one place. You don't have to listen all morning to hear all of the best of us. And then Bonnie carries over onto Saturdays. So it's all very cool. Great. Great. Welcome. Glad you're here. So we're going to start up this morning with a little tiny edition of none other than... Tech Talk San Francisco. We're going to have to get a camera in here. Ah, cool. Tech Talk San Francisco. I want to talk a little bit about bodies this morning on Tech Talk. Ah, bodies are interesting things. They're very, very cool. They do lots of cool stuff. Your ears are amazing things. They do very cool stuff like, well, like listen to me in the morning. Hopefully. Well, obviously, if you're listening to me now, then you, anyway. But there's a very interesting thing that your ears do. You know, it's that gremlin theory of when you get back in your car and you turn on the car and all of a sudden somebody's turned your radio up incredibly loud in the car because you don't know why. Well, the truth is your ears do a really good job of blocking out background noise. And effectively, between your ears and your brain, they tune down to block out steady and consistent background noise. Which is all well and good. That's a very handy thing. But it turns out it takes a certain amount of effort. Now, the reason your car radio seems so loud when you turn the car back on is because when you were going at highway speeds, your brain had dialed down the input from your ears based on the background noise from the highway speeds. And so you had turned up the radio to hear it above how much your brain had turned down your ears. And that's a certain amount of wear and tear. But when you're on an airplane for a very long time, there's a tremendous amount of background noise. For that matter, even on BART, there's a... All right, we'll say it right out loud. It's politically incorrect. There's a tremendous amount of background noise on BART. It's loud. And so your brain and your body is actually working. It's actually using effort to tune out that background noise. Now, the easy and cheapest solution is earplugs. Wear them when you're in the airplane. Wear them when you're in the car, in the BART. Don't wear them in the car. That's illegal. Wear them in the airplane. Wear them in the car. Now, the next solution is what they call noise blocking or noise sound isolating earbuds or earphones. Now, sound isolating just means that the earbud, you know, those little bitty earphones that you put in your ear, the earbud, sound isolating just means that the earbud or the earphones have a certain amount of basically noise and sound insulation to them. In other words, they're like earplugs, except that you've got speakers in them if you want to connect them to a sound source. The next solution up is what's called noise canceling earbuds or earphones. Now, noise canceling, sound canceling, noise canceling usually, or sound isolating are two different things. Sound isolating means that they've made the earphones or the earbuds to be a really good earplug and they've got a speaker in them. Noise or sound canceling, noise canceling earphones actually have electronics in them. Now, you remember from 8th grade science that sound is a sound wave, right? Sound is a sound wave, just like waves on the top of a pond or waves in any kind of water. Sound is a sound wave. So what your noise or sound canceling earbuds or earphones do is actually create a counter wave form to the background noise. Now, they're typically designed for that lower frequency stuff, like your airplane, the lower frequency stuff in BART, although they'll also have enough sound isolation to them that they'll help you out with those high frequencies in the airplane and in BART, like the kids screaming or the train screaming, the way BART does that special little sound it does. But noise canceling actually means it creates a counter waveform. Now, earplugs, you can actually still hear people talking to a degree, and you can actually still tell the flight attendant what it is you want to drink, but you have to make sure you speak up. The sound isolating earbuds or earphones, same deal. You know, you can still hear. The interesting part about your noise canceling earbuds and earphones is that they don't sound isolate as much because they're using noise cancellation. In fact, some of the Bose noise cancellation earphones don't even cover your whole ear. They just sit on top of it. In those, even though it's probably socially not totally acceptable, you can actually still hear another person's voice because they won't be in the noise canceling or sound canceling range. So you can hear them and you can speak back to them and you can actually have a relatively okay conversation in that modality. But the biggest part about it with any of them, and I've got to tell you because my ears are part of how I make my living, I actually, when I'm on an airplane, I have earplugs in. And then I have my noise-canceling headphones on over that. And quite frankly, I don't even usually tune them into a sound source, although all of them come with plugs that you could plug them into the airplane's music output, so you could listen to the airplane's music or the movie if there is one. But I'll put in earplugs, and then I'll put in my noise-canceling headphones over that, and I'll just bliss out in relative silence for the whole flight. Now, that sounds nice, protect your ears and so forth, but the part that's the most surprising is when you protect your ears from that background noise of the airplane or even BART for that matter, but particularly an airplane because, you know, most of us usually aren't on BART for 5 hours or two, but particularly in an airplane where you're on it for 4 or 5 hours, you'll find that when you get off the plane again, you are much more refreshed. You physically won't feel as tired. And it's a startling thing. I had to test it on several flights before I really recognized it was true that when I get off the airplane, if I've protected my hearing so that I'm not fighting the background noise, and I will admit it's also very handy in terms of loud passengers or crying babies, it just sort of muffles that down enough to where it's just background. But if I've protected my ears from the background noise of the plane for the whole flight, I actually get off the plane very, very refreshed. Now, you can find earplugs cheap. You know, just don't jam them in your ear too far when you're going to be in an airplane because there's pressure changes. But you can find earplugs cheap. You can find noise isolating or sound isolating earbuds pretty cheap. Pretty inexpensive. When you get up to noise cancellation, then you're looking at a pretty broad variance. Colby has them out for about $25 or $30, I think, at Fry's. And they're a decent set, but if you look at the range of noise cancellation, I have to tell you the official gold standard everybody compares to is the Bose. The Bose are also pretty expensive. My favorite happened to be the Able Planet. Both because I like what the Able Planet company supports in terms of the Able Planet Foundation, but also I like the sound in the Able Planet better because I'm over 20 and I played in a garage band and there's a tiny bit of frequency loss in my hearing. And so the Able Planet actually has Lynx Audio in it to make that up. But I'm noticing there's a whole lot of others that are showing up on the market with noise cancellation headphones. So you can go play with them, find out what feels most comfortable on your head and what fits in your price range. Able Planet has quite a range of prices now, all of them with the noise cancellation and the Lynx Audio. But I noticed Sharp just brought out a new set. And then, of course, you can jump all the way up. I think Sennheiser finally brought out noise canceling, just to make sure that somebody was more expensive than Bose. But all of those across the way, if you're going to be traveling by air, either use earplugs or sound isolating earbuds, or better yet, noise canceling earphones or earbuds, or better yet, use a set of earplugs and a set of noise canceling headphones and travel safely and arrive a whole lot less tired, taking advantage of technology. And that's this morning's edition of none other than... Thank you. Tech Talk, San Francisco. Sort of sprang that on you, didn't I? It's Monday morning and Kwong's still on last Friday. So am I, though, kind of. I'm still waking up. So glad to have you all here this morning. Definitely glad to have you finding us. If this is the first time you found us, I'm Scout like Pathfinder. Yep, really. Bartlett like Pears. Yep, really. And it's Life Insights Live, because that's exactly what we're doing. We're looking at insights into your life all the way across the board. Gotten a few people that have dropped us notes recently about appreciations for our workshops and what we're doing. How funny. Sorry, we've got the laptop up. You can track us with Life Insights on Facebook, and even if you want to throw in a comment, I have Facebook up, but Facebook is amazing how much memory it eats. I actually need to upgrade the memory in my laptop just so I can run Facebook. I had a way to go, Facebook. Keep loading it up with more material. Gotta love it. Anyway, we've been getting feedback on appreciations, and it's a remarkable experience to hear back from people. One of the interesting parts is we've been doing the Life Insights work for a while. We've been teaching our classes. Our first healing class was, I believe, in 1986, so way back in the 1980s, you know? Way back there in the 1900s, previous century. And I just had the chance to talk with a couple of people that were in some of those very early classes recently. And it's remarkable to hear people talking about something that they took 86, 96, 2006. Good God. 25 years ago. Whoa. That's spooky. Now people are going to know I'm not 25 anymore. Anyway, it's just fascinating to talk to people that took the training in 86, 87, 88, 89. We've continued the healing class. In fact, we just finished it in the city recently. Some of the feedback we got from that class was just exquisite. But it's remarkable to talk to folks that took the class that long ago and to recognize that they still remember it. It's a memorable event in their history. So, you know, I mean, there is that joke about if you remember the 60s, you weren't really there. If you remember the 80s, maybe there's a slightly different joke about that. But truthfully, how many things did you do, or how many things have you studied, just even say 10 years ago, that you still apply or that you still use? And our healing class and that whole set in the healing class series is something that people do steadily apply and do steadily still use. It's that kind of value. So I joke sometimes about the fact that the healing class is, even though the class is only 10 weeks, it's actually a 10-week introduction to the rest of your life. Now, things I've heard recently from folks talking about those classes is they suddenly noticed they were doing things that they'd been trying to get themselves to do for ages, and now they were just doing them naturally. They've been suddenly noticing that they go into work and places where they've needed to be able to speak up but were too hesitant or not quite sure enough about themselves, they find that they don't push themselves to speak up. It just shows up. That they're able to. So they don't push themselves to speak up. They suddenly notice that it's easy and obvious to speak up. A huge difference. Not because they've learned how to out-wrestle themselves inside themselves, but because we've taken away the blockages that held them restrained. Blockages that got installed in early childhood, very early adulthood, or even much before that, that held them restrained and kept them unable to communicate. How much of you are you willing to have now? So I want to let you know that with that in mind, I've actually been outside this morning. In the city, it's going to stay long sleeve and light jacket cool all day today. High cloud, little bit of mist, not very much, but definitely it was long sleeve shirt plus a jacket. And it's not going to get much warmer than that in the city at all today. However, out in the suburbs, it's going to get to, like, just, you know, comfortably warm. But no matter where you are, no matter where on earth you are, it's going to be an absolutely perfect day for you to have a great day on purpose.
Talk AM on 1450 just for you.
San Francisco.
If I'd known then, how often have you said that? But now make that ifidknownthen.com for insights, life insights. You can join our classes to study with me and the other certified life insights teachers to transform your whole life, experience bringing out the more of you you've been seeking, or even work one-on-one with me in private sessions. Everything, including you, is energy. Let us support you to open your flow, joy, laughter, and light. Scouts, Life Insights training, workshops, and private sessions. IfIdKnownThen.com. That's IfIdKnownThen.com. Yeah, you're listening to A Life Insights Live with Scout Bartlett. Oh, I like that part. I don't even know why. That's right, you are listening to A Life Insights Live with Scout like Pathfinder, Bartlett like Pears. Yeah, welcome. Once day of the week. How cool is that? We're very happy about that. This whole change of schedule, now we come in on Monday morning to put everything in place for you and start off your week with life insights. What do we want to do today? We ought to figure something out. It's the 16th of the month, so... So we've been talking a lot about opening out that core essence of who you are, bringing forward that core essence of who you are. All of us have, well, a core essence of who we really are. Sorry, getting a little redundant there. It gets wrapped around by what we'll refer to as the lessons, the karma, the, quite frankly, how we mostly experience it is, it gets wrapped around by the stuff in the way. So we have this core essence of who we really are. And it gets wrapped around by that stuff in the way. Now, the stuff in the way is actually what we're here in this lifetime to learn, or you could think of as overcome, or untangle is actually more accurate. But the stuff in the way is what we're here in this lifetime to actually learn and bring true or bring straight. Think of it as energetic tangles in your energy field. All of us have an energy field. We used to call it aura in metaphysics. Science used to call it ridiculous superstition. And then science discovered that they actually had tools that could measure an electromagnetic field around a living body. And so all of a sudden, because they suddenly developed tools that would measure it, we're allowed to have an electromagnetic field around a living body. It's still not an aura, just because science says if it was an aura, then it would be old wives' tales and not really true. It wouldn't be good science if it's an aura, but if it's an electromagnetic field, it's been measured by instrumentation, therefore it really is real, so therefore we're allowed to have that. So how cool is that? Now we're allowed to have our aura, because it turns out that that electromagnetic field that science can measure does many things that reflects the same things we would describe in an aura. When a person is feeling strong and vital and alive within themselves, that electromagnetic field expands and is more radiant. And when a person is feeling squashed or badly or they're ill or they're not doing well, that electromagnetic field also gets smaller or more squashed just the same way. So it turns out that the scientific electromagnetic field has a lot in common with that aura. It's just a matter of, let's say, nomenclature. Just a matter of nomenclature. Now, when we have our core life force flowing, when that core life force is flowing strongly, we find ourselves feeling alive and thriving, connected up, and flowing well. It's all in that core life force. Now, the primary experience of your core life force flowing is that experience we refer to as love. Now, that's not coincidental. Love is actually the word for the experience we have when our aliveness and our life force is flowing in us. Love is the word for the experience we have when our life force is flowing in us. So when we're experiencing our love, whether it's our love of another person, whether it's our love of a pet person, whether it's our love of Hawaii, or the beach, or a sunset, or a sunrise, or the redwood trees, or whatever. When we're experiencing our love is the point in time when we're experiencing the richest version of our life force flowing. And so we experience ourselves with a sense of confidence, with a sense of optimism, with a sense of looking forward, with a real belief that it's all going to be different this time, with that real belief in ourselves, that real belief that we ourselves can express, can move forward, can have our aliveness, can remember who we really are. Now, consciousness and the development of consciousness is the development of our experience of that life force energy. So the expansion of consciousness is the expansion of that life force energy. Primary tool for the expansion of consciousness is a meditation. Now, sometimes we get confused in thinking of the picture of meditation is necessarily somebody sitting in a full lotus, cross-legged position with their hands in certain positions and chanting. That is indeed a variation and a portion and a version of meditation. It's a particular practice. But the key elements of meditation sometimes get lost in translation, because I've talked to a whole lot of people that say, I've tried to meditate and I can't. I'd like to meditate, but I'm not able. And then when I talk to them about not able, it's because of their definition of meditation. They have a definition in mind that says that if they were meditating accurately, if they were meditating well, if they were actually meditating, they would be experiencing a completely clear and blank mind. And the fact that their mind doesn't stay clear and blank for them convinces them that they're not actually meditating, that they can't do it. They tried, they weren't able to have that completely clear blank mind. Sure enough, as soon as they started, other thoughts drifted in, so therefore they conclude they can't actually meditate. This would be sort of like concluding that if your first time up to bat playing baseball, you didn't hit a home run, you can't actually play baseball. Or if a golfer concluded that if they couldn't win a major tournament, that they couldn't actually play golf. Right? There's a whole lot of professional golfers out there that have never, ever won a major tournament. Because, you know, quite frankly, if they'd won some, it wouldn't have been possible for Tiger to win as many as he won. You frequently hear that if you're watching golf, of his first win, or he's closing in on his first win, his first major win, right? There's lots of professional tennis players that have never won at Wimbledon. It's not about that. Meditation, it's not about that the first time you sit down, you experience a completely clear mind. It's not even about the clear mind. Yeah, I know that's going to shake some people up. It's not even about the clear mind. It's about the letting go of the thoughts that show up. It's completely about the letting go of the thoughts that show up. So the fun part is, when you first start meditating, you actually score more points. Every time you can notice that a thought came in and you're able to shift and let it go and come back to your meditative focus, you could consider yourself as having scored one meditation point. Okay? And it's not about whether or not you win by scoring the most points. It's that every meditation point you're scoring, you're increasing how much energy is running, or how much aliveness, or how much life force, or how much electromagnetic force supporting your scientifically measurable electromagnetic field. You've expanded. See, we've all got an energy system in us that's got energy centers and energy reservoirs and this whole deal going on. It's exactly what we work with when I'm doing session with people. It's what we work with when we're doing classes with people, is we shift that energy state. We shift those energy flows and patterns so that you have more life force and more aliveness flowing, so that you're not stuck in the same patterns you were in before. When we shift the energy patterns, that creates a shift in your experiential patterns of your mind, your emotions, even your physical movement and physical body. Now, you can make those changes from any one of those four levels: energy, emotional, mental, or physical. It's just that the energetic changes are the deepest and the fastest and the most complete. It's exactly what they're about. We've just started, for those of you that are healing class grads, by the way, we've just started Daughter of Healing in Mountain View. You can still join that class. That class will be closed after this week. So you can still join Daughter of Healing in Mountain View. For those of you that are healing class grads, the Son of Healing class will start in San Francisco the first part of August, first part of next month, so in just a couple weeks. Son of Healing will start in San Francisco. Both of those classes require the healing class as a prerequisite. I do want to real quickly mention that we'll be at the Center for Creative Living Sunday the 29th of this month, so I think that's a week from next Sunday or 2 weeks from yesterday. We'll be at the Center for Creative Living. You can find that one. The shortcut to that is dotti.info, dotti.info. Go into dotti.info, and it'll give you the link to the website for the Center for Creative Living. And then just look at Sunday Celebrations. I'll get the real link for you here. Just look at Sunday Celebrations, and the one on the 29th will be me. Yeah, because the Center for Creative Living is centerforcreativeliving-ucm.com. We'll get that link up on our website if it isn't there already. But just go to dotti.info, and then you can click on the link and go to the Center for Creative Living. And Sunday Celebration on the 29th is me, and then we're having a workshop afterwards, because the center is donating the space for the workshop, and in an appreciation for the center itself, we're actually pricing that workshop at $25. It's all about manifestation. Anyway, so meditation is that releasing of those extra thoughts and coming back to your primary focus. In fact, we're going to teach you right now a little short meditation. This is the Life Insights meditation. This is the highest powered meditation, the fastest moving meditation I've observed. And when I find a faster one, I'll teach that one. So if you're driving a car, for goodness sakes, keep your eyes open and pay attention, because the people around you aren't. Okay, so dial in and pay attention. You can do this in the back of your mind and memorize it to do it later when you have a moment. Those of you that have time to take a 2.5 minute break right now, just go ahead and let your eyes go closed. And just draw in a long, deep breath till your lungs are full, and let that air flow out again. And as you're ready for another breath, let it be a long, deep breath. And this time, imagine the air flowing out through your body as if your body were layers of silk or fabric. And with each breath, just let the air flow in and let it flow out through your body, feeling your body open and expand. And in your imagination, I'd like you to imagine reaching a hand down to the center of this planet Earth. Reaching a hand down to the center of the Earth, and imagine stirring that warm, rich, dense energy there in the center of the planet. And curl that imaginary hand into a cup, and use that cupped hand to pull a streamer of energy right up through the planet directly underneath you, drawing it up and into your body just in front of your tailbone. And continue to pull that streamer of energy from the center of the planet right up along the inside of your spine, drawing it up through your abdomen, through your chest, heart, drawing it up through your neck, and then continue to draw it right up through your head, stretching that streamer of energy from the center of the planet right out the top of your head and all the way up and into what I'll call Source. Drawing that streamer of energy from the center of the planet right up through you, right up and into Source. And imagine using your will to speed up that flow of energy right up through the planet into Source. To speed up that flow of energy. You can imagine it creating almost a small pressure deep inside of you. And as you let go of that pressure, it'll create a glow from inside of you, glowing right out through you, glowing right through everything around you, as if everything around you was transparent to and now included in that stream of energy. And recognizing that you can reinforce this every time you have to wait for anything today, go ahead and give your body a big breath. And as you let it out, just stretch your neck and shoulders. Bring your eyes back open and bring yourself right on back into the room. Welcome back. So the key parts of meditation, even one that simple, and you'll notice that you could do that simple 2-minute meditation every time you're waiting for anything. If you're waiting for the microwave, if you're waiting in line at the bank or for your coffee, if you're waiting for the water to heat up in the shower, if you're waiting for an elevator, if you're waiting particularly for a stoplight, if you get there just when the light turns red, it gives you 3.5 minutes to meditate right there. You can build that up while you're at the stoplight. Keep your eyes open so you'll be ready when it turns green. But just focus on drawing that stream of energy right up through you. And every time you're waiting for anything, if you're standing in line, if you're waiting for the water, if you're waiting for anything, if you're waiting for a website to load, if you're waiting for somebody to reply to your text, or I've gotten hooked on an app on my iPhone called Draw Something, if you're waiting for somebody to give you a drawing back, or maybe there's a wait period. I haven't played Words with Friends. I've so far managed to avoid that addiction. But if there's a wait there, just take a moment to imagine again reinforcing that stream of energy from the center of the earth right up through you, up and into Source, and speeding that flow up. Now, some of you that have studied some of the more classic practices, you'll notice that this is counter to some of the classic practices, which used to have us only extend a ground cord 3 or 4 or 6 feet into the planet like an anchor or a string on a helium balloon. So we would only anchor a ground cord 6 or 8 feet into the planet, and then we'd be all focused on trying to elevate our energy up to the level of Source or God or Spirit or Highest Essence. We're still elevating energy to Highest Essence or Source or God or Spirit or Core Essence or Highest Self, whatever words you're most comfortable with. We're still elevating that. But when this vertical beam work first showed up for me, I questioned it a lot because it was very different than the meditations I had studied. I questioned it a lot, and I found that in watching it, it worked tremendously well for the clients that I was using it with. I watched them have major openings in their lives and major changes in how their life was affecting them and how they were affecting their lives. Big changes. From that, I continued to work with it, and I spent some time arguing with guidance about it, as I am wont to do. Guidance and I have these little discussions, and I argue, and then I learn. I spent some time arguing with guidance about it, and this is what I got back. This is from my guidance, trust yours. What guidance said was, yes, the 1,000 and 2,000 year old energetic practices were indeed valid for the time. But you have to think about the changes that have gone on. First of all, 2,000 years ago, traveling bards had a certain amount of difficulty even convincing some of the villagers that there really were such things as big cities. much less that there were such things as something beyond life. You got to remember, 2,000 years ago, people spent their lives pretty solidly connected to the earth and pretty solidly connected to the earth beneath them. So all of the meditation practices of the time had to do with elevating to that sense of source. All of the meditation practices of the time had to do with elevating to that level of source, because people were pretty solidly earth connected. Well, things have progressed for a while. If you think about it today, there's a lot of people that spend days, weeks, even months at a time without ever having any portion of their bare flesh touching the earth at all. You know, unless you garden or walk barefoot, you might go major periods of time without ever having any portion of you directly connected to the planet. I mean, I happen to feed well from trees and moving water, so I try to make a practice to at least getting connected up in that way. At a minimum, I'll go stand and lean against the little bitty tree in my front yard while I focus on watering the yard, just so I've got trees and running water, and they're mobile right there to my very own home. But a major focus there. But lots of us in this day and time spend huge amounts of time in our head, not connected to the planet. Now, that's not an objection. That's not saying, ooh, this is evil and wrong. It's acknowledging a significant perspective. In fact, lots of us, if you're listening to me now, you're recognizing that you have an awareness of something beyond your primary surroundings. In fact, if you're listening to me, you probably recognize you have an awareness that runs beyond your first five senses out into that sixth sense territory. But you recognize that you have an awareness for sure beyond your physical surroundings. I've got friends around the world that I communicate with the internet. I've got people that I've known for years that I've never even heard their voices. It's true. I know their typing skills. I know their English skills, but haven't heard their voices. We communicate online. So we certainly have an awareness of an extended comprehension and an extended reality beyond our physical proximity, much less beyond our first five senses. Human beings have made a tremendous progression forward. So has planet Earth. Planet Earth has also moved forward. We've grown. We've progressed. And so it should be no surprise that we're expanded outside the practices that were developed 2,000 years ago. Planet Earth has accelerated and is continuing to accelerate. And this is what guidance told me, is that we were ready now to be doing the next phase. And this is, healing class was in 86. This is about 82, 83, long before people were talking about Mayan calendar stuff and so forth. Guidance was telling me then that we'd expanded and we were ready for the next phase of why we incarnate, which is uplifting, transmuting, elevating physical level energy. Transmuting and elevating physical level energy. We're elevating the whole frequency of the planet. It's why we're here. It's what it's about. It's what it's for. We're not only growing and expanding our own energy state, we're not only growing and elevating our own energy state, we are affecting and elevating the whole planet, the whole experience of the planet. And so we're watching stuff happen along those lines. Our interconnectedness is accelerating. We're talking to each other planet-wide, right? That's that internet stuff again. So in terms of a meditation practice, this is what guidance said, it was time for us to be uplifting, transmuting physical level energy. Or as guidance phrased it differently, nobody actually sends anybody down to the bottom of the well with a shovel in order to pull the light down. we're sent to the bottom of the well, or in this case, into physical reality, in order to elevate physical level energy up, to transmute and elevate physical level energy, is exactly what we're about. Now, the cool part is when we create, sustain, and maintain that flow of energy from the core of the planet up and into source, when we create and maintain that flow of energy up and into source, we create a connection that then allows source to transmit along that link to and into Earth. So we're maintaining the flow of energy from Earth, of Earth energy up to source. We're uplifting that heavier level Earth energy up and into source, and that then allows that light energy of source to flow back along that same cable, the same way that if we run a heavy cable from Hetch Hetchy all the way down to wherever, from the generators there, the electricity can flow along the cable. When we create that flow of energy from Earth core to source, we create a link that then allows that source light to flow into the planet. At the same time, doing any version of a meditation, you're expanding the amount of energy flowing in you. So, we want to loop all the way back around. We do that vertical beam because it's what guidance gave to me as the next phase of growing and expanding and uplifting physical level energy. We do meditation because it recharges our energy field and expands our energy field. Now, I'll be quite honest, we could think of ourselves as expanding our energy field because it's the spiritually appropriate growth path, but quite frankly, there's the other part of it. We expand our energy field because the more we expand our energy field, the more freely and easily we flow across the surface of the planet. Yep, synchronicities abound. Good fortune and better flow of, call it luck, which is synchronicities, beneficial synchronicities, also abound. Now, the key point of meditation, again, is not that you manage to create a meditative focus and stay on it without any loss or without any drift. It's how quickly can you notice that you've drifted off, let go of that thought, and come back to your meditative focus. And then how quickly can you notice that you've drifted off, let go of that thought, and come back to your meditative focus. Now, as it works out, as you build energy status, your ability to stay in your meditative focus expands, and the space between thoughts expands. But the key part is interrupting those thought chains as you go, interrupting those thought chains that are woven together that take us off into loops, is sort of like taking a mental vacation. It's breaking your life force out of being stuck in the thought chains, the ninga 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 of your background thinking. It's breaking your life force out of being stuck in those thought chains and bringing it back so that it's available to be your creativity and your aliveness and your focus and your playfulness and your lightness of being and your lightness of life force. Breaking out of the thought chain is like taking a mini vacation. If you've ever noticed how refreshed you can feel after a vacation that was long enough for you to actually break out of your mind, then you're really noticing that whole refreshing thing from breaking out of those thought forms, those thought chains, those loops in your mind that go na 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 in the background of your mind. Breaking out of those gives your mind a vacation. It frees up your life force, and it expands how much energy you have flowing. That's the why of meditation. The how we showed you at the half-hour mark. If you missed that, go to the website, ifidknownthen.com. You'll have to create, you know, just use your email address as your ID, create a password, and you can go right into the radio archives and listen to the show again. and pick up on that meditation that we do. We also, if you go to the Want of the Month page, there's a meditation there that you can download and use. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. All of the web archives of the radio shows, also free. Go in, go after them. Get that. Enjoy it. But the basic simple part of meditation is simply choosing an uplifting focus and staying with it for a set amount of time. 20 minutes will do it. And just interrupt your thought, come back to your focus. Interrupt your thought, come back to your focus. So speaking of interrupting a thought and coming back to our focus, I'll let you know that I've been outside already this morning in the city. It's a little chilly. It's almost misty. You're going to want like a long sleeve shirt and a jacket. And of course, I needed a hat for my little naked head. And in the city, that's about how warm it's going to get today. It's going to be long sleeve shirt and jacket weather all day. Out in the suburbs, it's going to get up into the 80s. But no matter where on earth you are, it's a perfect day to have a great day on purpose.
San Francisco.
If I'd known then, how often have you said that? But now make that ifidknownthen.com for insights, life insights. You can join our classes to study with me and the other certified Life Insights teachers to transform your whole life, experience bringing out the more of you you've been seeking, or even work one-on-one with me in private sessions. Everything, including you, is energy. Let us support you to open your flow, joy, laughter, and light. Scouts, Life Insights training, workshops, and private sessions. ifidknownthen.com. That's ifidknownthen.com. You're listening to Life Insights Live with Scout Bartlett.
Good morning, Scout. Yes, you are the real deal.
I love that part. You are listening to Life Insights Live with Scout Like Pathfinder, Bartlett Like Pears. We are now on your 1th day of the week in KEST's Personal Growth Strip from 6 to 8. Every weekday morning, and also additional programs on Saturday. Is there personal growth on Sunday yet, Kwong? Not yet. Okay, there's rumors it might spread there, you know? Personal growth spreads everywhere. Waking up can seem ridiculous, but boy, it's such a good thing to do. Let me give you a couple things that I want you to know about. One, go to D-O-T-I, Dottie, period, info, because it's hard to say Dottie dot info. It doesn't work. D-O-T-I Dottie, period, info, I-N-F-O, and get the link to the Center for Creative Living and click on Sunday Celebrations and look on July 29, and that'll be me. I'll be doing the Sunday Celebration in the morning and a workshop in the afternoon. We'd love to have you join us. That'll be way fun. Also want to let you know, if you are a grad of the Healing Class, the Daughter of Healing Advanced Training in Magnetism and the Yin Side of Power is starting right now in Mountain View. We've met once. It's on Thursdays. So this Thursday will be the last time you can join that class. If you're in San Francisco, the Advanced Training Sun of Healing, the Yang Side of Power, starts in August, and it'll be on Monday nights, since the show's on Monday days. I do want to give you a preview, because there's no requirement except that you be at least 17 years of age. We do a series of energetic treatments that are specifically designed to knock out the top end limits in your world. Seriously. I mean, the results we see from people are beyond expectation. It's called the Excellence Series, and it's a series of acceleration treatments. When we do those as an individual treatment, it runs about $1,600, because I have to spend individual time. After a number of years of developing it, I built enough strength to be able to do them in a group format. And when we do them in the group format, instead of running you $1,600, it's $350 for the whole series. You have to do a little more of the work because it's a group format. I still do all the energetics. You have to do a little more of the work, but the net results are just as potent and just as powerful. In fact, we have numerous people that are going to redo it because it doesn't show up every year. So I just want to give you that heads up. It'll be in Mountain View. It'll be on Wednesdays, and it'll start in August. Okay, you can make it to anywhere. You can make it to Mountain View from anywhere. I make it from Walnut Creek, so you can make it to Mountain View from anywhere for a Wednesday night, right? And that'll be starting in August, so you want to make sure that you get in on that one. And those are the upcoming events. And then every Monday morning you want to listen to us here, and then you can listen to the archives on ifidknownthen.com. In fact, if you'll go into ifidknownthen.com and give us an email address, we'll be able to send you announcements. You do need to tell us you want to be in the email list. And we'll be able to send you the announcements so that you'll stay up to date. And then there's a little, every time we do an email newsletter, there's a note in there about what I've been seeing. So there's a couple other things you'll want to know is I do individual sessions still. I'm still available for individual sessions. Classes are expanding. We don't know how long that'll last. Foreseeable future, anyway. I do individual sessions. I do them by phone from everywhere in the world. I have clients. I've worked with clients as far as Sri Lanka, Korea, Hawaii, Alaska, all over the place, Australia. I do them by phone from every place. And then one day a week, just because it's kind of fun, I spend a day at East West Bookshop in the daytime doing face-to-face private sessions there. And that's on Thursdays. So, for a telephone session, all you have to do is send us an email, scout@lifeinsights.net, and my assistant, Terry, will get right back to you and get it set up. Or you can phone 925-676-5189. You can phone 925-676-5189. It's in the website. And Terry will get back to you and get a session set up. For the face-to-face sessions at East West, you have to call the bookstore there. And their website has their phone number, and the website is eastwest.com. How's that for a flow of data? So go find DOTI.info, dotty.info, and let that take you into the Center for Creative Living website, and go to Sunday Celebrations and check out the 29th. I don't believe there's any advance reservations required. I don't think there's even an advance reservation for the workshop. I think you can show up at the door on that one. As far as I know, they're in charge of it. I don't know anything. I try to keep it that way. Somebody else tell me where to be and what I'm supposed to do, and then I'm happy. I just show up and do it. Meditation this morning. We've been teaching about meditation this morning. So, again, the key part of a meditation, to even take a 20-minute meditation each day, gives you a significant break. It's like taking a small vacation. Taking a 20-minute meditation once each day builds up as if you've taken a small meditation. Figure that's 20-minute meditation a day. Every 3 days is an hour. Every week is 2 hours and a quarter. So every month would be 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 hours. So eventually, you know, it all adds up to have taken a week or two of vacation. The key to meditation is not I tried to clear my mind and then thoughts came in and I couldn't, so therefore I can't meditate. It's not about, I tried to clear my mind, thoughts came in, and therefore I can't meditate. It's noticing that you are meditating and then allowing yourself to recognize that every time your mind drifts off, you want to bring it back to your meditation. So the real score is not, can I clear my mind and keep it clear forever? The real score is, how quickly have I been able to let go of that extra thought and come back to my meditative focus? Let go of that extra thought and come back to my primary meditative focus. Let go of that extra thought and come back to. Get it? The key of meditation is, how soon can you notice that your thoughts drifted off and then bring them back again. Uh-huh. That's the point of the game. And every time you do that, you start to break up one of those mental thought chains. See, our mind is not a logical creature. It gets wired together in thought chains based on experiences that we have and experiences that go on in our world. Our mind gets wired into these thought chains not because they logically go together, but because they just happen to get put together by our experiences. Yep. Have you ever noticed sometimes you can watch your mind get triggered into stuff? You can watch yourself trigger. Something around you shows up, and boom, your thoughts wander off into this memory or that place. Something in your world shows up, and boom, you notice you're back in this experience of history. You're back in this experience of trauma. You're back in this, that, or the other, all triggered by something that just shows up outside of you, having no necessary, sometimes you don't even know how it interconnects. You have no idea what the logic was that made that hook up that way. It just shows up. Our minds are like little pachinko machines. You remember those things? You fire up a ball and it goes ping, 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 down and drops into the bottom, right? Your mind is the same way. Well, when you meditate, you start to break those old thought chains and interrupt them with an uplifting focus. You start to break those old thought chains and interrupt them with an uplifting focus. And as you do that, you rebuild your own subconscious to be an uplifting focus. And everything we do in Life Insights is in favor of insights into your life so that your entire conscious and subconscious becomes on your side in an uplifting focus. Check us out next Monday. Go into the website, ifidknownthen.com. ifidknownthen.com. We're here every Monday from 7 to 8 in the morning. You can have a session with me, but most important, I want you to do me two favors. One, treat yourself as a loved one because you truly are. And keep in mind that no matter where on earth you are, it's a perfect day for you to have a great day on purpose. Hey, this is Scout from Life Insights Live with Scout Bartlett. There are some amazing changes coming up here on your favorite KEST. Starting in July, we're condensing the personal growth information into a learning-packed two-hour weekday wake-up from 6 to 8 a.m., and I'll be leading off your week. All the information and fun of Life Insights Live will move to Monday mornings at 7. Start your week with insights, Life Insights, every Monday from 7 to 8, and catch our archives on www.ifidknownthen.com.
J.F. Fitzgerald.